So the mere fact that I need to speak to you means I've lost sight of reality. I've lost sight of the idea that we're one. So then we left on Thursday night, we went to the next paragraph, we almost back up to where we left off, which is, it says, perception is a function of the body. So perception really represents a limit on awareness, because your perception sees through the body's eye and your perception hears through the body's ears. So your perception evokes the limited responses which the body makes. And it looks like the body is self-motivated. It looks like the body is independent. But really, your body is actually responding only to the intention of your mind. Your body is sitting in the chair because it's responding to your intention to sit down. So the body is always responding to the intentions of the mind. And if your mind wants to use your body to attack, which is anger and fear and guilt and worry and projection and blame, the Course says then your body becomes prey to sickness, age, and decay. So the reason why the body gets sick, the reason why the body ages, and the reason why the body decays is because the mind is mad all the time, is upset all the time about something, with something or somebody was different. And so the Course is saying, you don't realize that that's an attack upon your body reflects it. Now remember, with the Course in Miracles, we don't have to believe it, accept it, or welcome it. And there's some of the ideas we're going to actively resist. So it's not about liking it, it's not about believing it, it's not about me trying to convert anybody. It's about me sharing the message, and then I trust that your inner self will do with the message whatever it needs to do for your benefit. So it's, I don't really see my role as convincing anybody of anything. I just see my role as sharing a message and then trusting you. I trust in you. I trust in that the Spirit in you will give you what you need to. And if I can clarify anything, I'm glad to do it. I've been obsessed with this for 25 years, so I'm totally willing to save you some time. If I can, you know, if you want to use me, because that's the purpose of a relationship anyway, is to save time. I mean, why get with somebody that's going to slow you down? And most people use relationships to slow themselves down. They're pretty moving pretty fast before they get in the relationship. then they get into the relationship, and the next thing they know, all they're doing is processing, explaining. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, it trips me out. It trips me out. So really, you should be like speeding me along, and I should be speeding you along. We shouldn't be holding each other back. But if I look at it as if the purpose of my relationship with you is for you to make me happy, for you to complete me, then I'm going to slow you down, because your life is supposed to be about me at that point, not about you. So I'm going to really be a problem for you. But hopefully, every now and then, if it's a special relationship, the sex will be worth it. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm saying? I know some of you all know what I'm saying. You with somebody that you know, if they didn't have a body, you wouldn't be nowhere around them. Because if you were left with their mind all the time, you shoot yourself. You know, you know that body is figuring in there somewhere, you know. And that's okay. We're innocent. We're innocent. Okay. You know that's the truth. If I had to be alone in your mind on a desert with your mind on a deserted island, I'd kill myself. If I had to listen to that conversation, some people know people like that. But there's a physical attraction there that keeps you there, even though you know there's no real communication going on. And then the Course in Miracles says that the only thing that can make a real relationship is satisfying communication. And satisfying communication is going to be communication without fear and communication that's without limit, right? So really, love is unlimited communication without fear. That's who you love. So it says the body is a limit on awareness simply because we use our body to perceive, but our body perceives what we have learned and what we are telling our body to see. So the truth is, you're not seeing beyond your own perception of things. You're not seeing beyond your own interpretation of things. And so the Course is saying, there's a whole world outside of the way you look at it. That the way you look at it may not be the way it actually is, but the way you look at it will be the world you see. And so the Course is saying, if you're not happy, then you want to be wrong in your interpretation of what you're looking at. so you can get outside the bubble of your own perception. And that's real easy to see even at a physical level. Like if we sit in this room and we look around us, we don't see any further than the external form of everything we see, right? We just see the outside of everything. And I don't see past this wall. So for all intents and purposes, I'm living within the bubble of this perception. But we know there's a whole city of Denver outside of this window, right? And that's what the Course is telling us. It says, all you're seeing is your bubble of perception. You're seeing your room. And there's a whole nother reality outside of your room. And then you live inside your perception. That's where you live. And the Course says, the body is your perception. It's not just your physical body. Your body is your perception. I was reading yesterday, it was saying that, you know, if you're really having a really unusually powerful, happy, loving perception, and then you say, well, would you like to have that all the time? Well, the man will say, of course I'd like to have that all the time. The Course said, well, you have to realize all that that state of consciousness entails. If you really want to be there, you need to realize what it's going to take for you to be there. The first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to look at all the interference first that keeps you from being in this peaceful, happy state all the time. You're going to need to see what interferes with you being in this wonderful state of consciousness. You have to look straight at what's blocking you. And then it says, then you have to do something else. If you want something, I love how the Course talks, says, if you want something to be permanent, if you want a perception to be permanent, then you've got to say, this is the only perception I want. That sounds too simple. You know, if I want the way I feel about you to be permanent, then I've got to consistently see you the way that's making me feel good about you. And I have to keep looking at you that way all the time to feel that way all the time. See, that makes too much sense. You kind of like it kind of tilts you, doesn't it? You're like we seem to be kind of dumbfounded, but we think that I think I can look at you in a loving way one moment, not look at you in a loving way the next moment, but see you lovingly every moment. No, I can't. If I want to see you in a loving way every moment, I have to see you in a loving way every moment. Do you know the only reason why I wouldn't see you in a loving way every moment? Because I don't want to. And I'll perceive something about you that justifies me not feeling that way about you every moment, so I can feel justified in not feeling okay about you every moment. Isn't that a trip?
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, and it says, when you get to the, now I love this, of course it says, when you get to the point that your own happiness is all you really want, and all the time, you want to feel peace all the time, he says, and you want that to be certain, he says, now you're at the point that the Creator can do its part, because the Creator, in a sense, cannot really do its part until you want it, because it says, the God doesn't mess around in temporary. Temporary isn't God's neighborhood. So temporary is our neighborhood. I like it sometimes. Sometimes I don't. This has beginnings and endings. That's our trip. The Course says, in the realm of the Creator, there is only the eternal. So there's no such thing as beginnings and endings in reality. So when you're certain that you want a perception of happiness all the time, then your certainty that you want to be happy permanently is automatically a request for the higher power to do its thing, because now you want it all the time. And it says, the only part of the whole healing that God understands is the part God does. There's many places in this book that says, if you want to maintain your peace, don't try to understand insanity. So the Course says the Creator wouldn't even get into trying to figure out our insanity, because what the Creator knows is what the Creator knows, and that's the only thing that really is real anyway. So it's no need to understand our insanity, because when you understand it, the Course says, then you can appreciate it, and if you can appreciate it, you'll love it, and if you can love it, you'll draw it to you. So I love crazy people. And you know what crazy people are? Crazy people are simply people who learn insane lessons and they've forgotten how to love and how to share, and they think they're alone. And they project and they blame. And they hurt themselves all the time and don't even know they're doing it. So we're on the ultimate field trip. Getting a chance to learn it in the lab. Isn't that great? I mean, there's no shortage of fearful people to learn how to love. They're everywhere. Aren't they? Yeah. So if you want to have an opportunity to heal, you got an opportunity all around you. But I really want to be happy, so I want my perception of happiness to be the only perception that I want. And I want anything that distracts from that perception to be removed from my mind. Cool. Then that paragraph says that if the mind accepts the Holy Spirit's purpose for the body instead, then the body becomes a useful way of communicating with others, which means your body will be invulnerable as long as it is needed, and your body will be gender-laid by when its use is over. Of itself, your body is neutral, as is everything in the world of perception is neutral, whether it is used for the goals of ego, which is the fear, or the goals of the Holy Spirit, which is love, depends entirely on what your mind wants. Okay, everything here is neutral. And whether you're using everything here to make you upset or whether you're using everything here to make you happy, that just depends on your mind. Everything here is neutral. You're the one that determines what it's going to be for you. Is that fair enough? If you use your body and you use your body for anger and attack all the time, then you experience problems. And we're not just talking about the physical body. Remember, the body is our perception. So your body could be healthy, but your finances are very sick. Or your body could be healthy and your relationship is very sick. So when we say body being sick, it's not just talking about the physical body. Because you could have a very healthy physical body and be totally messed up in your mind. Isn't that a trip? Okay, so the course wants us to understand that we need to understand how this world, this beautiful day that we're in, this beautiful day, wow, it's a great day. I was like wondering if anybody's going to show up in a day this pretty, you know what I'm saying? It's like teacher hell day. In terms of, you know, you teach them, you know, it's like you love snow and stuff. But a pretty day like this in Colorado, the temptation is to just skip it. You know, especially when you don't remember most of the things I say, no way. You know, and I don't either. I mean, I'm not being funny, but y'all know I'm telling the truth. You know, if somebody asked you about coming to this class and asked you what it says, and you said, well, you just ought to come. You know, it's like it's difficult to actually say what anything I actually said, but you just go though. It's really good. That's, you know, that's powerful to me. You know, I'm thankful. I'm grateful. So what I'm saying is that means that the people in this room, a lot of them have reached their limit in some area, and that their peace is more important than a beautiful day outside, because to be in a beautiful day outside without my peace isn't my ultimate goal. I want my peace first. Then I can really enjoy the beautiful day outside. Okay, so before I go into the next paragraph, which is where we're starting off today, are there any questions or comments that anybody will have about anything I've said so far?
One thing, you said that God's neighborhood is the temporary, and that if we want...
No, God's neighborhood
is
permanent.
God's neighborhood is not, I'm sorry, not the temporary. It's not the temporary, and so when we really want it to be permanent, then he'll help.
When you really want to be permanent, then God will take the next step to make it permanent.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that while you don't want it permanent, spirit isn't there.
Okay.
It's almost like, you know, with your child or with your friends. You have friends that you could help right now, right? But you know there's nothing you can do until they're ready for it. But you are lovingly there until they're ready to avail themselves of what you have to offer. And it's at the point that they show you that they're really ready for it that you feel it's your place to go ahead and do it. Well, of course, it's saying basically that's the way infinite intelligence works. It's like it's there always for us, but it can't do its thing until you want it to do it, because it's all about willingness. It's all about you being free to, and being, nobody's going to force your happiness on you. The Course says selfishness forces itself on you. The desire to dominate and manipulate will force itself on you. A fearful mind will force itself on you, but nothing loving demands Nothing truly loving is going to force itself on you. That's what makes it loving, is that it's not going to force itself on you. Mm. Wow.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I want to avail myself to the love that's already in my environment. You know, that's what I want. It's like, I feel like I'm already surrounded by it, but I'm probably inside my bubble. And so I really want somebody to bust my bubble. Yeah. Pop it. Okay, anybody else have a thought or feeling or anything they want to share about what we reviewed before we go into something that's going to be extremely hard to hear, because from here on out is the answer. I'm serious. I'm going to test you. Watch how hard it becomes to stay conscious, and I'm about to share the answer. I just want you to check yourself out. And every night I'm checking, you're going to find it may not be, but I've taught a lot of classes. So I hope I'm wrong. Anybody else got any questions, any comments?
I was just a little curious. The idea that our bubbles are infinite, are finite.
Right.
But permanence has its own bubble too, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me then that the idea that the permanence, once we recognize permanence, would carry its own signal that we have reached that infinite bubble, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, it's almost like, let's say real love is at this height, okay? And I'm inside my bubble, and my love is at 10 feet, and real love is at 100 feet, right? Mm-hmm. Well, on the inside of my bubble, I keep changing my interpretations inside of my bubble with the help of my higher self, so I start seeing more and more love in my perception. In my bubble. So I'm raising it, right? And so it gets to the point that the bubble inside my perception is close enough to what's going on outside, the love is going on outside, that the Course says the translation over into what's real is like the twinkling of an eye. So the Course calls it the happy dream. So you don't just wake up to the ultimate reality. You go from what you consider to be a fearful life, or a life with challenges and problems, to a life that you have no lacks and no fears and completely like cooled out. It really is like a beautiful day. And then, once you experience that, you're ready to go to a greater reality. So I'm unhappy human, happy human, then I get in touch with my infinite nature. So there's no sacrifice being asked. You know, some people think waking up means they're going to leave, you know, their plasma TV. You know, that upsets them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to go, you know. Let's get real. You know what I'm saying? There are physical experiences that people think they would have to sacrifice in order to reach enlightenment that they know they still want to have. And the Course is saying, no, you're unhappy, then you're happy. You have an unhappy perception or fearful perception, then you have loving perception, and because you have a loving perception, you're ready to go to whatever is next, and you're ready to trust whatever gave you the happy perception. You know, you have a good time with me in Denver, we go out in Denver, and we have a great time, then I say, hey, why don't you go to California with me? You're going to probably be saying, okay, let's go, because you had a good place, a good time with me where you are. So you're going to have a good time where you are. Then you'll move on. Is it okay? Is that okay?
Yes.
Is that okay? It's okay. All right. It's okay. It's okay to be enthusiastic about your own happiness. Is it okay for you to be happy? You would have thought I would have said, I'm going to kill your firstborn or something. It's like we get back to you on that, you know. Don't you dare talk about taking away the pain and sacrifice that I think I have to go through in order for me to be happy. I've already sailed on the sacrifice route. Don't tell me I don't have to sacrifice and I've already wasted 10 years in it. Don't you dare tell me I can be happy today without struggling. You better give me a lot of stuff I have to do before I can be happy. But I won't let it come. So we have steps, as long as we need steps. And when we're ready to have it, the Course says you can have it in an instant. You can have it today. You can have it 5 minutes from now. You can have bliss consciousness right today. You don't have to wait. You don't have to do another anything. Except maybe my relationship works out.
But
do not get enlightened before September 24th. When I'm doing this seminar for singles. That everybody's invited to, but it's especially for people who want to do the whole single thing different, especially as far as relationships and friendships. that you want to take these principles and know how to apply to what it's like going out here talking about feeling complete and also talking about meeting people. It's totally different from what we've learned in traditional types of teachings. And so I'm going to do that seminar on the 24th of September, and I got flyers I put on the chair, and I got some more for those who came in later and may not have gotten a chance to do it. But Stephanie and I are going to do that seminar together. It's going to be great.
I have a question.
Okay.
Okay. These special relationships of the world.
Okay.
Right?
Destructive, selfish, and child egotism.
Mm-hmm. Right. But that the Holy Spirit can transform into lessons of forgiveness and awakening from the dream.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. You're on the roll.
all right. Each one is another chance to forgive oneself by forgiving the other.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that just in the mind, right? You don't necessarily have to be in a physical...
No, to forgive you, I don't have to call you up and go out to lunch. Right. That's why a lot of people don't want to forgive, because they think if they forgive, they have to be with the person again. And they really don't want to be with the person. That's why they keep remembering the grievance. Because the grievance gives you justification for not being with them. That's why you have to keep the grievance going. The grievance is there because you don't want to join with the person. That's why the grievance isn't there because I wish I could just let go of this grievance because I really do want us to be joined. No. The grievance is what you use to not be with a person you don't want to be with. That I don't want it. So when you said forgive, a lot of times people think that, okay, to forgive a person, I need to contact that person, I need to call that person. To forgive a person, you don't have to have any physical contact with that person at all. To forgive a person, you just have to change your perception of the purpose of that person and how you're seeing that person and what that person is making you aware of. In other words, I'm forgiving you the minute that I want peace for you at any level, even if I'm not the one who can fill it or give it to you. That's why there's a lesson in the workbook that goes, God is the love in which I forgive. I love that lesson, because then it takes all the responsibility from me. It's supposed to feel like I'm the one that's got to give you the love. It's like, no, God is the love in which you're forgiven. God is the love in which you're forgiven. I didn't create you. You're not my responsibility. Now, I want to forgive you means I want to look past all of my distorted perceptions of you. I want to see the truth so I can have peace. Because remember, the name of the game is cleaning up my bubble. And I don't want my bubble filled up with all these grievances blocking my miracles. That's blocking my abundance. You, matter of fact, you may not even know I'm suffering and mad. You might be in Hawaii partying on the beach. You don't even know I'm mad. You don't even know I'm suffering every day because of what you did. You see what I'm saying? So I'm the only one that's suffering from the grievance. You're not suffering at all. So what kind of sense does it make for you to punish yourself about somebody who doesn't feel your pain? I'd like to ask you again. Would you please tell me the benefit of your suffering about somebody who doesn't feel the pain? That's why you want them around, so they can see how miserable you are. Because it doesn't make sense to be suffering by yourself. There's nobody to watch you. Okay. Let go of the grievance. The grievance is like a shield up that you're holding up above the sun that's blocking the light of your own prosperity and abundance and love. Don't forgive for the other person. Do it for yourself. It's a lot easier to do everything in this book if you think you're doing it for yourself. If you think you have to get in the frame of mind that you're doing it for everybody else before you get motivated, it might be a long time. But if you can realize you're doing it for you, then it'll get easier to get motivated. Don't you agree? I mean, how motivated am I going to be to do something for somebody I don't like? No way. Right, that's not going to inspire me. But if I go, oh, you mean this is blocking my prosperity? This is blocking my love? This is blocking my success? This is keeping me from having the kind of life I want to have? I might want to reconsider changing my mind about it. Whew. If you become happy, you'll forgive naturally. I promise you. Because a happy person is too busy being happy. And they're too busy enjoying themselves to be holding a grievance against anybody. It's just a waste of time to them because their present reality is so cool. It's only a miserable person that holds grievances all the time anyway. A happy person don't have time. They're too busy enjoying their life and feeling blessed. So really, If you're miserable all the time, you got grievances all the time, that's really a good indication that you're miserable. And so you might want to turn your attention towards yourself and let go of the attention that you're giving to the person that you think is the problem. Because if you would have become happy, you'd forget about what you think they did to you in the problem. I think that's a cool solution, don't you?
Yeah.
I think a solution that comes through my own fulfillment and satisfaction that just so great that it just makes me drop the fear and pain is a much better solution than spending all my time trying to focus on the fear and pain and how can I get rid of it and how did it come about in the first place. Because the more I focus on it, the more it expands. Because whatever I focus on, it expands. Of course, the truth says, you know, whatever you focus on, you're going to see more of, right? So if I focus on my problem, the problem just gets larger. The Course says you only recognize a problem so that you can recognize that immediate correction is needed. So you're only supposed to look at the problem long enough to go, this needs to be corrected immediately, and I'm willing to do what needs to correct it. You don't focus on the problem according to the Course in Miracles any longer than it takes you to recognize what it is, and then you immediately go past it to what's the solution. We recognize the problem, and then we focus on the problem, and then we think about the problem, and then we break the problem down, and then we share the problem with everybody we know. We just love it. And then it gets bigger and 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 bigger, and then we become it, and we start identifying ourselves with it, and all of a sudden, I am weak. I am inadequate. I am not loved. See, now I have become my problem. It is my identity. It even has a social security number. And so when someone tries to get rid of your problem, you find the resistance comes up because it's at a subconscious level, it's the same as saying, get rid of you. Because I am whatever this is that I'm telling everybody about. So to get rid of it is to get rid of me. That's my identity. Woo! I know my story. I am my story. But if you get rid of my story, you got rid of me. And I'm in love with my story. I love my story. I can peel my story off in 5 minutes. I got it all figured out as who caused all my problems in my story. I tell you, it's cool. I love it. But when you start getting outside of the story, that's when you start waking up to who you really are, because your identity is the part of you that made the story up. Who made the story up? And that deep. And don't forget, the next time you see something in somebody else and you tell yourself, if I see that in you, it must be in me. That's a real popular metaphysical spiritual statement. If I see it in you, it must be in me. The truth is, if I see it in you, it's in my mind. It's not in me. I'm love. Got it? So when you put you see in someone else, is in your own mind. But if you stop there, that's an error. Because most people will stop right there. They go, well, if I see it in them, it must be in me, right? If I see it in you, it must be in me. The Course says, well, if you stop there, you've made an error. You know why? Because while at first, you know, only he was messed up, now you messed up too. Now two of y'all messed up. No correction has happened. You just said, now you messed up as well. So don't stop there. Go to the next level, which is, well, who made up this idea that I have of myself? Mm-hmm. What made up the way that I see myself right now? Who accepted that idea out of all the ideas I could have accepted about myself? Who was it that accepted this one? So the Course then is giving us new ideas about ourselves that will clean up the bubble from the inside, let more love in until it becomes our permanent experience. I need new ways of looking at it. And they're being given for free. Isn't that wonderful? I think this is a book full of new ways to look at things that free you from your limited experience if you want to use it. Okay. So the next paragraph goes, the opposite of seeing through the body's eyes is the vision of Christ. Now, if you got a lot of things around Christian terminology, you kind of have a problem with the Course. Because most of us are recovering from our religious upbringing. I'm a recovering fundamentalist Baptist. And I learned a lot of limiting ideas around the Bible and around Christianity. So when I first got in the Course, I had a problem with the terminology that it used. until I realized that that was the purpose of it, was to do the same thing it always said it was going to do. Let me give you a new interpretation of the terms that you're using to limit yourself so that you won't when you hear it. Okay, so what is Christ? The Course says, that is the part of you that reflects strength rather than weakness. So there's an opposite. So instead of seeing through the eyes of your body, it's possible to see through a part of you that sees with strength rather than weakness. It's possible to see through a part of you that sees through unity rather than separation. There's a part of you that you could see through that sees through love rather than fear. The opposite of hearing through the body's ears is communication through the voice for God. The voice for God is the Holy Spirit which abides in each of us. So the voice for the truth that abides in each one of us, the Course calls the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is nothing but the voice of your own Creator that's inside of you, and every one of us has the truth inside of us. Okay, now, the problem with this voice of God, this intuitive voice, our higher self, the problem with it is that it seems to be distant and difficult to hear. Is this correct?
Yes.
It seems like that voice you keep talking about, that spiritual voice, God's voice, sure does seem like it's distant, and it sure does seem like it's difficult to hear. And then it says, because the ego, and then my mind goes, well, what is the ego? Then you keep reading, it tells you. It says the ego is the part of us that speaks for our little separated self. And so it seems to be the loudest voice. Okay, so let me get this straight. Okay, so when I first, here I am, I'm a messed up person. Not really messed up, I mean, I'm nice. There's some parts of me that's nice. Oh, we're not completely messed up, are we?
No.
Y'all got the same energy about that as the part about being nice. You deserve to be happy. There's a part of you that is nice. This is a lovey-dovey bunch in here, boy. I tell you, we're warm and cuddly, aren't we? Oh, God. I get too serious about this stuff sometimes, and I forget that that's how I got here in the first place, was that this was a joke I forgot to laugh at. I mean, the Course says that in the book. So that people go, well, how did we get here in the first place? It was a joke you forgot to laugh at. And then because you forgot to laugh at the idea that you could be separate from love, separate from God, separate from peace, and you are this infinitely created being, then you took it as a serious idea. And so now it looks like you're experiencing it. It's because you don't laugh. It's all serious. Isn't it? Mm. Are we serious?
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so now it's going to talk about, well, how do you go? He says, well, when you're first upset and you're trying to become more loving, you're more in touch with the part of your voice that speaks for the little separated self. I'm much more in touch with the voice that speaks for the me that looks like it's on its own, Earl Purdy out here in the world trying to make it. That's the voice that I listen to most of the time. The one that says Earl is out here trying to make it. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Okay. Then it says, well, he says, this is actually reversed. The Holy Spirit, which is your spiritual self, your real self, your loving self, your free self, it speaks with unmistakable clarity and overwhelming appeal. Doesn't that sound like the biggest lie that this book is offering? It's like, why would I listen to a book that's lying like this? I understand why people wouldn't come to the class. God's voice speaks with unmistakable clarity. Right. An overwhelming appeal. Oh, yeah, I'm rushing to do everything this book is saying to do. He says, well, no one who does not choose to identify with the body could possibly be Is it D for death?
Death.
Death, thank you. Death to his messages of release and hope, nor could he fail to accept joy to the vision of Christ, which is the vision of love and glad exchange for his miserable picture of himself. Oh, I love sentences like that. Okay, so the course is saying, okay, the reason why I don't hear his Holy Spirit, the reason why I don't hear my higher self, the reason why I don't hear my spiritual self is because I'm identifying with my body. I think I am just this little separate guy sitting up here talking to you right now. So naturally, I'm going to listen to the part of my mind that believes I'm that. Mm-hmm. More so than why would I listen to the part of mine that says I'm this unlimited being that's eternal? I think I'm this body sitting right here. So it only seems sane to me that I would listen to what my body consciousness says, what my human mind says, what my separate self says. With me on that?
Yeah.
Okay, then it says, you will also, if we were not identifying with our separate bodies so much and have lost sight of our spiritual identity, we'd be glad to exchange our miserable picture of ourselves for a picture that is absolutely full of joy and love. Yet if I was really smart, I'd be glad to get rid of my self-concept. I wouldn't defend my self-concept for 2 seconds. You'd be amazed at how many people defend their pain. They will sit up and argue with you all day long. It's funny to be only teaching people that they deserve love and they deserve to be happy, and then sometimes watch people get like deal with you like you're trying to hurt them. It's like, okay, let me see what you... What? This is a cult. How do I know it's a cult? Well, he said I deserve to be happy, that I had power, that I had help, and that I should go within to follow my own guidance. He's trying to control them. That sounds pretty much like my traditional church upbringing. They told me what to wear, how to look, what to think, what was proper, what was right, and not to question any of it. Now that sounds like a cult to me. To me, that sounds like, would you come to a class like this? I say, no, you don't have to believe it. Believe if you want to. If you don't, that's all right with me. I believe you got the power and the strength that you can use what I'm saying, and your inner self can tell you the best way to use it. Yeah, you're talking crazy talk. You going to tell me I deserve to be happy? You know, I wouldn't be a member of a club that would have me as a member. Because obviously they don't have good judgment. And that's where some people are. If a really nice person come up to them, a loving person come up to them, and that person treats them better than they believe they deserve to be treated, then they are immediately suspicious of that person and think that that person is trying to deceive them, manipulate them, or take advantage of them in some way. I mean, why would you want me unless it's something you're trying to get? Why would I try to get something from a person who believes they have nothing to offer? Why would I go out and try to get a date with somebody that thinks they have nothing to offer? If I believe I'm valuable, why would I want somebody who didn't value themselves? Well, I'm cute. You should want me because I'm cute. And because I'm so cute, you can enjoy the drawn out process of helping me heal. That's why I'm going to work with my body. I'm going to make sure my body look good. I'm going to jog and everything else so that people have patience with me while I'm crazy. And they'll love me. So there'll be something about me they won't. I'm telling you, as I said many times before, as I get older in the body, I want to meet people more and more who can go beyond the body. When I was younger, that didn't matter to me. But now, I want somebody who can look beyond gray hair. I want somebody who can love me if I don't look like an athlete. I want somebody who can get to my essence beyond what my physical body looks like. It's funny. And it's like the more you want to go for the content, the better your body will look. It's really weird. And the more you focus on the body, then the more problems you have with it. It's wild. It's wild to watch this stuff really work. It's awesome. Okay. Any questions about those two paragraphs? I'll say it again. The opposite of the way we see now is when we see through the part of us that loves us. Really, that part of us is speaking to us so clearly, but we don't hear it because we're more identified with our body, so we're listening to the part of us that's more in touch with the body consciousness. But as we become more in touch with who we really are, we'll hear the other voice clearly and more distinct. In other words, I'm going to hear the voice that wants me to be permanently peaceful when I want to be permanently peaceful, because when I want to be permanently peaceful, that voice would have more appeal. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. So as I want it more, I'll hear it more. It says God's voice is no louder than our willingness to hear it. So if I don't hear it, I'm not willing. Then my ego gives you, you are willing. You know you're willing. What is he talking about? You know you've been begging for God's voice for like the last 6 months. You've been on your knees. No, that's your ego trying to convince you that there's no such thing as God, by making it seem like you've been asking for God and not getting no answers. But the Course says repeatedly that its purpose is the escape from fear. And the Course says the greatest fear there is the fear of God. The fear of love. The fear of truth. The fear of happiness is the greatest fear. So I'm really asking for something that I'm afraid to find. Okay? So if I'm asking for something, the Course says, and I'm afraid to find it, then my achievement of it would not be what I wanted. So when you ask for something and you are afraid of it, when you ask for it, you know you don't really want it, even though you're asking for it. I want a relationship, but if a man comes up and speaks to me, I'm going to shoot him. You might not be quite ready yet. You know, you see it. I mean, I'm out here in the single scene, you know, dating, going out, checking things out, meeting people, having a great time. And it's amazing how many women you can walk up to and you can meet and you can see you are every man that came before you. And they're looking, they don't even see you. They just see a man. So they immediately project that you're going to be about everything every other man has been about that they've ever met. Right? You know, I'm sure you can reverse that. Okay? And the point that I'm making in saying that is that you have to be clear of when a person is seeing you and when they're seeing their past. So if you meet a person and they're totally defensive, then they're not open to you. They're defending against what they think happened to them in the past. So they're really being delusional. They're trying to decide how to deal with you based on their past experiences, which is crazy since they never had a past experience with you. Now, you were with Steve last time, but you're going to judge me by what Steve did. Now, what kind of sense does that make? And you think that's going to protect you from what I might do to you? And the only reason I would be so afraid of being taken advantage of in the first place is that I was trying to get myself. If I'm here just to love you, nobody in this room can take advantage of me. So I don't worry about being taken advantage of. If I'm giving what I want to give every moment that I can, who took advantage of me? If I'm always giving what I want to give, tell me who's taking advantage of me. Nobody. If I'm doing for you what I want to do for you, I don't care what your motivation is. You didn't take advantage of me. I did it because I wanted to do it. So if you do what you want to do all the time, nobody can take advantage of you. Because even if they think they got over on you, they didn't, because you gave it to them because you wanted to. Isn't that cool? Because one of the biggest sources of grievances is that people think somebody is taking advantage of them. And if you really were given freely in that situation from your heart, and you were giving them to them from your heart, then it was a gift that you gave freely. And what they did with your gift, that was up to them if it was truly a gift. So was it a gift of my love, or was my love really an imprisonment? Were you supposed to use my love the way I deem you use my love? Was it truly a gift? Whew. The truth is, if I gave it to you, then I had the satisfaction of giving it to you. And when I gave it to you, I received my reward because it felt so good just to give it to you. So I received at the instant I gave. So how could I lose? Depending on what you do with it. And if I'm giving it, this is what's really cool. If I'm giving it and you're not giving it, then it's going to come back to me through the form I need it in the most anyway, because you can't stop my love from getting to me. Even if you decide you're not going to give it to me. That's all right. My love will come to me through who it can come through, and it's always on the lookout for it, who that is. Now, the only way I can mess up that whole process is decide it's got to come through somebody who doesn't want to give it to me. And and the minute I decide I want it through the person that's not going to give it to me, that workshop on single is going to be deep. And the minute I decide that I'm not, that I got to have it through you and you don't want to give it to me, then I have effectively blocked the love. You didn't block the love, I blocked the love. I blocked the love by not being open to the love, because I am obsessed with you. So you are not my lover, you are my idol. And it must be something about your body. It's got to be something about your body, else I'd be ready, willing for it to come through somebody else. It's got to be I'm attached to your body. But, you know, it was like we get attached to bodies, but I don't ever see people jumping in the coffin at a funeral trying to French kiss the corpse. Even if it's a lover that's dead. Nobody has an interest in the body when there's not anything animating it. For the most part. I mean, there are a few of us out there. That... people that pray there's no mind in the body. So they can really have their way, you know. I'm glad that there's no consciousness in this form. Just come on. You follow what I'm saying? What you want is the love. What you want is the love. What you want is the love. And the voice for God will become louder, that will direct you to it when you want that and you say to yourself, that's the only thing I want. And that's how you make it permanent. Then you'll be shown how to make it permanent, because it's the only thing you want. And you don't have to know how. You must just choose. Your job is to choose. My job is to choose. It's not your job. The how is none of your business. How it's going to happen is none of your business. How they're going to get to you, or it's going to get to you, it's none of your business. But when, the Course says, must be your decision. How it's going to get to you, you can forget it. You'll never know how. When, that's up to you. Would you like it today? You can have it today. Would you like it today? To the 24th. 25th, you can do it. That's right. Communication is salvation. You got to let people know. So every time we come together, all we're doing is reinforcing the idea that we want it all the time. And once you know what you want, then making a decision and making choices become easy, because the Course says when you have a goal, then it's easy for you to evaluate what direction to go in and what direction not to go in. But until the time you have a goal, then things just happen to you. So if you're one of these people that looks like things are just happening to you all the time, it's because you don't have any purpose. But then once you have a purpose, like in going into a relationship for me now, I know what my purpose is, so I know what I want. So I know when what I don't want walks up to me. So I say them time and me time, because I know what I want. How else would I recognize it when it showed up? Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. So, and I bet you already know what you want, too. I bet you right now you could tell me what you want. You know, you want someone in your life, this is friend or lover, and that's loving, that's peaceful, that's giving, that's understanding, that's safe.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. You have to be it to have it. Because a person like that, they're looking to see who's safe. So they know what a safe person does. A safe person doesn't project. A safe person isn't blaming, and a safe person isn't manipulating. A safe person isn't trying to control you in any way. So it's easy to tell when you're around a safe person. And a safe person will recognize you if you are also assuming responsibility too. That's not saying that you won't be friends with people who are not enlightened. You just won't get intimately involved. You touch them lightly. You have a lot of lunches. So once I want to have a gain 500 pounds. Woo! I'm telling you. So it's on the way, y'all. It's on the way. So would you be willing to acknowledge yourself for hearing this much of you today? Wow. Okay, so going out into the week, think in terms of, I want a new interpretation in my bubble. I want a new way of looking at things in my bubble so that it can be opened up. I want to be what I want to have. And if I want real communication, I have to stop attacking people for telling me the truth. Because when I attack you for telling me the truth, then you will not be inclined to tell me the truth again. So it takes being able to listen to what you don't like without attacking someone for it. You won't pull it off at first all the time. And that's where forgiveness comes in. And you go, hey, I'm giving it a good shot. When that bruise is healed, I'm going to try it one more time. You know what I'm saying? I didn't mean to hit you over the head with that pot. Now next time I'm going to try to control myself when you tell me the truth. Be gentle with yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Because it's a miracle that we're here together. Mm-hmm. You know, we're much further along than we think. Yeah. So, thank you for sharing with me in my full-time ministry with the Course in Miracles. I do it on a love offering basis so people can come regardless of their financial situation. And I'm trusting that those in the room will give based on their feeling of value and what it means to them. So I live by trusting the universe and trusting the love in my brothers and sisters. And I want to thank you for your generosity and seeing it as what we're doing as an exchange and not charity. Because that's what it is. It's an exchange of energy and love. And I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. And Unity Temple thanks you also. And the prayer that I like to do for the love offering is I deserve to be paid for having fun. I deserve to be paid for having fun. Next Sunday, they're going to be filming a movie, I understand, in the church. And so we're going to meet across the street at this beautiful bed and breakfast place. From what I understand, that I've heard is fantastic. It's right there on the corner. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I tell you, I suffer well. I suffer well. And so if you're interested in doing the seminar, put the name and phone number on this sheet. I'm going to put it over here. And it's $100 for the seminar. It's from 9 to 5. And it's a Saturday. So if you want to do it, put your name down. So at least I have some idea how many people are interested. And then pay as soon as you can to make sure you have a spot. But at least this way I'll know that you're interested.
Where are you having it?
It's going to be here.
Do you ever record any parts of that or anything?
I tend not to because it inhibits sharing.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I'd rather have people feel really safe to communicate.
Yeah.
And so that's very important. So if you want to do it, let me know. So I put it over here. And also over here are my sheets for the clarity session and the sole purpose reading, because I do one-on-one sessions with people. And if you're interested in me taking all of this truth and applying it to your personal situation, please do that. Thank you, darling. There are no original problems. I know yours is special. But you don't know what I've gone through. Mine is different.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? So I'm going to end this on a high note today. And I'm going to say one statement, and I'm going to see if you can say it with me. Be paid for having fun. I deserve to be paid for having fun. I deserve to be paid for having fun. Woo! I'm thinking, lift your voice and let the spirit fly. Yourself. Love's will for me is perfect happiness. Love's will for me is perfect happiness. Life's will for me is perfect happiness. Life's will for me is perfect happiness. God's will for me is perfect happiness. God's will for me is perfect happiness. God's will for me is perfect happiness. I accept my 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 happiness. One wonderful thing you'd like to come to you this week. One wonderful thing you'd like to experience this week. Think of one wonderful thing you'd like to happen to somebody that you love right now. One wonderful thing you'd like to happen to someone you love right now. Say what? We're coming on in for a landing. We're getting ready to go back out in the lab. We're getting ready to go back out in the lab. Remember, the world is neutral. What do you want to see?
Lift your voice and let the spirit soar.
That's what I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank y'all. Oh, you feel good. Woo! Salad and all cute bodies. All cute bodies. That's all in here. I'm telling you. So if you like a copy of the class so you can listen to it again and remember it, then, you know, the classes are available, $5 prepaid. I make a copy of the class and then bring it back the next Sunday. Because it's easy to forget that you're not constantly reminded. So I want to invite you to do that. And I'll have a, and come up here anyway next Sunday to make sure. And I'll have a note on the door if it's across the street for sure. Okay? Hugs are available. I appreciate you all.
Girl.
This is the minister.